So yesterday we laid out most of the issues in terms of Kesher Elyon. So to recap, the Gemara says that Kesher Elyon is D'Areisa. It seems like that is derived from the Halacha of Tchelet, the ability of Tchelet to be Asido Halosa, say, because the wool and the linen, and it has to be attached for it to be a problem to begin with. Rashi, though, assumes that since in the Gemara and Yevamot, at least, that Heter is based on Smuchen, and there's a machloket whether we learn halachos from Smuchen, meaning from juxtaposed halachos from Sukkim. He thinks this is a machloket, Tosfos disagrees. There's also the element of it that we learn from simply that it's Gedil, that it's defined as this braided object, and therefore it needs to actually be, there has to be some sort of braid. There was a machlokes, what is the Kesher Elyon? So there's both a linguistic point right? Tosos thinks that Kesher Elyon means the one closest to the beged, because that's the upper knot when you are wearing the beged, right? Rashi thinks it is Rashi is not clear. Rashi seems to say different things in different places. But the other Shita is, which is, at least according to those, Rashi in one place, let's put it that way, is the extreme knot. Either you can say it's upper, because when you're tying it, potentially that's upper. Or, which also takes it, that Elyon just means the extreme, that which is on the edge. And that's how he gets there. We noted that the problem with Rashi for Men of the Rishonim is, how does that have to do anything with Kilayim? Kilayim is about the point at which the wool and linen are attached to each other in the beged. What would that have to do with the lower knot, or the extreme knot, the one that is farther down on the tzitzis strings, and not the one that is relevant for the attaching of the beged to the strings? So Rabbeinu David solved that problem by saying, maybe when we say that you need a double knot to make it to be attached, to be problematic for Kilayim, he simply means a double knot. And therefore, that could mean knot, chuliot, knot. And that would be the double knot, and that's what he's talking about. And there was no havamina that the first knot, meaning the one that attached it to the beged, didn't have to exist. Of course it did, otherwise everything would fall apart. That wasn't even the question. The question whether you need a second knot later on. The Ron didn't like it, but that was what we saw in Rabbeinu David. Parenthetically, I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, Rabbeinu David is just one of the Talmidim of the Ramban. That's why the Ron is quoting him. The Ron is from the Beit Midrash. We don't have most of his Svarim. He did write. We have some remnants of it, but we've lost most of his Svarim. For the most part, we have records of what he said in the Ron in Sanhedrin, and that's where it is found. Is that everything we did yesterday? Is that right? Basically, right? We fleshed that out. Okay, good. But what we left with was the conceptual question: is okay, why would you say? Why would you define the Kesher Elyon as either the knot closest to the beged or the one later on? Right. That's one question we had left. A question that I didn't get into yesterday is the possibility that the way to resolve Rashi, the seeming stira in Rashi, that in some places talks about Kesher Elyon being the upper knot, in some places being the lower knot, or closer to the beged and farther from the beged, is the possibility that he thinks Kesher Elyon is both knots, which is a conceptual possibility that we'd have to explore.
Meaning they're mocking each other?
What?
Meaning they're mocking each other?
Or they're both, even more, that they're both part of the Kesher Elyon. And then the psak issue, which we'll polish it off. So let's do that. So we also yesterday did not do Shitas HaRambam. What does the Rambam say, by the way? So the Rambam thinks that the knot is an Aleph Zion. Someone want to read me Aleph Zion in the Rambam?
Should I give it a Rambam?
And you can, for this, you can just read it from the back of the Ezra Hadar. So what does the Rambam say? Aleph Zayin and El Tzitzis. You're in it. There you go. Aleph Zayin. Sure, go ahead.
So you take one string from the white and you wrap it once around the other strings on the side of the beged and you leave it. And then you take the tefillin string, wrapping twice on the side of the wrapping, on the side of the white wrap, and you tie it. The ilim hashalosh truchot him and gray and achulia, and these three wrappings are called achulia. And you leave some amount of space, and then you make a second chulia with only tchilat. And you repeat until the last chulia, that's where you do just two wrappings of tchilat, ukricha charna shalavan, and the last wrapping of white, yipnei sheitchil v'lavan misayim bo, shemalim v'kadosh v'lam merinim. Right, you start with lavan and end with lavan,
right?
Because you can't go down in kedusha. V'lavan yechil. And you start with Vavan because you have to start with Mina. You do this with all four corners.
Good. So where, according to Rambam, is the knot, the biblical knot?
The first two.
Where's the knot? After the Chulia.
Yeah.
Right after the Chulia. So now if we take it, according to... So now, with the Rambam, this should help us now in our conceptual question. Okay? What is the din of Kesher Elyon? Conceptually, what is the Kesher Elyon? Why would you say it's the knot closer to the beged? Why would you say it's a knot at the end of the chuliot? Now, according to the Rambam, is there a knot at the beginning?
No.
Yes.
No, it doesn't even sound like it, right? It's just not after the chuliot. Right? After a few chuliot. Right? I think I got that right.
It seems like he's saying the knot is the chuliot.
Well, that we'll get to that when we do chuliot in a minute. But okay, why would you say one or the other? Say the other. So very simply, what is the conceptual definition of the Kesher Elyon? What is its purpose? Why would you say it's one? Why would you say it's the other?
One is attaching. One is officially like. The first one would make it considered attached to the beged, right?
And the other is?
Would be considering completing the wrappings.
Good! Exactly, right? There's not a super complicated conceptual question, but that's what the Rav said. Right? He says, V'hinei rabotinu rishonim nechlaku b'yaso din kesher elyon. The Rishonim seem to be arguing, what is this definition conceptually of the kesher elyon? HaRambam shepasak sheyesh l'ksharachutim davka l'achar kichachuya. The Rambam says it's after the knot. And the Rav had said... I didn't make you read it, but now I'll read it. Kosher tchila samuch l'knaf kesher echad. First tie a knot up by the beged. V'u'a nikra kesher elyon. That's the upper knot. V'achar kach korech, and then wrap. Mistaber shelafi arayvid din kesher elyon mechayiv chibur l'beged. The rayvid understands that what is kesher elyon? That which attaches tzitzis to the beged. Hari katu b'tarav asulem tzitzit al kanfei v'gdehem. And the Rav now pushes it farther. He says... Why would it be? How do you know? Right? What's the pasuk that tells you that Kesher Elyon is Daraisa? He said, what's really the Yisod? It's not really about Tchelet. What's the Yisod? He said, the pasuk is, Vasulam Tzitzit Al Kanfei V'gdehem. make the tzitzit on the corner. So how? What is the yisod? What is the fundamental definition of kesher elyon? According to the Rishonim, who think the kesher elyon is that which ties it to the beged, the fact that the definition, according to the pasuk of tzitzit, is
attaching to the beged.
Tzitzit al kaveh begehem. The tzitzit on the corner. So why is kesher elyon daraisa, according to the Rav, according to Tosfot, Udime? Because that's what makes it the tzitzit al kanaf, right? Right. The tzitzit is on the corner. And from there we learn that you must attach the tzitzit to the beged with an attachment that is halachically significant and called derakula. So therefore, that arrived in Sarat Lucharna tzitzit dafkat samoch lechnaf. And that's why the kesher elyon is that which is next to the beged, that which makes it tzitzit alaknaf. That's all. Right? This is pretty straightforward. And he says, okay. How does Rashi understand it? How does the Rambam understand it? That the kesher elyon is the one after the chulya. What's the role of kesher elyon? The kayim and a chulya. Right? The role of the knot is not to attach the baguette, it's to
attach the wrapping.
Not attach or the baguette. To sustain it, or sustain or finish the wrappings. Correct. Now, I should point out, the Rav points out in the footnote, that even if you didn't, everyone would agree, that even if you don't hold kesher elyon daraisa, do you need some wrappings?
Yes.
Yes,
why?
Because
it's called gdil.
Gdil, right.
And we already talked about the fact that, as we'll see, gdil means this braided thing. How could you say that kesher elyon is not daraisa? Remember, Rashi thinks it's a machlokas. So how could you say kesher elyon not daraisa and still somehow have wrappings? Isn't going to collapse. So what did Rashi say?
How it is daraisa.
Remember, Rashi said there's a machlokas.
Kesher elyon is daraisa, then you don't need the wrapping.
Remember, according to Rashi, there's a machloket. Right? There are shita to hold kesher elyon not daraisa. But if you hold kesher elyon not daraisa, then how could that be? Isn't it now not a good deal? It's just strings. So what? How does Rashi solve that problem?
Double.
No. So look at Rashi. Rashi said, "Vafil yachol lekroch yafel litkayim below kesher yom echad yomayim psula." He said, even if I could wrap it in such a tight way that it would last for at least a day or two, so if you hold kesher elyon daraisa, is that valid? No. If you hold kesher elyon daraisa to do a bunch of wraps that will hold for a day or two, but without a knot, is it daraisa?
No.
But that means that according to Rashi, kesher elyon lav daraisa, it still needs to be defined as a gadil. How is it going to be a gadil? You do some tight wrappings without a knot, because some wrappings are definitional to being gadil. If you hold kesher elyon daraisa, so what's the role of the kesher elyon according to Rashi?
To finish the wrapping,
and the kind of the wrappings, right? However you want to look at it. That's one possibility. That's one conceptual possibility. But there's another conceptual possibility. And that is, right, it's clear that according to Raivid and Tosfos, that the role of kesher elyon is to attach. That's what they say.
Right.
Is there another way of explaining Rashi and the Rambam, who say that the relevant kesher is not the one next to the beged, but the one after at least the first set of kricha? How else might you conceptually define it?
Actual image of tzitzis.
What?
It gives you.
So that's another version of it. So is there any way to say that maybe they agree fundamentally that kesher elyon is about chibur? Because why would you want to say kesher elyon is about chibur? What's the problem with saying that kesher elyon is only about mekayim the kricha? Right? It's only about sustaining the kricha. What's the conceptual problem?
DRA says about creating it.
Because the Gemara, the context of the Gemara is that this is about. Chelet is about the kilayim, meaning the simple pshat in the Gemara is that how do we know kesher elyon daraisa? Because you have to attach it, which means that the simple pshat is like Tosos and Raivid, that the role of kesher elyon is attaching, and since we know that you need a special heter to allow you to have tzitzis with kilayim, that means the role, and that proves kesher elyon daraisa, then it must be the role of kesher elyon is to attach rather than to maintain the chuliot and the krichot in the tzitzis. So how could you say the role of kesher elyon is to attach the beged to the tzitzis to the baguette and still hold that the kesher should be after the wraps? How could you say both?
It's only a full attachment afterwards.
Good. So that, right, so the Rav says, maybe we could just tweak it. We could say, no, the machloket isn't min hakatzeh al hakatzeh. It's not that Tosfos and the Raavad thinks about attaching to the baguette, and the Rambam thinks it's about being makayim the chulia. Because then, that's hard in the Gemara, because the Gemara says, the reason we know kesher elyon d'oraisa is because of the fact that you need a heter for kilayim, which means that the relevant conceptual point here is that kesher elyon provides attachment to the baguette. So he says, maybe you could say Shekesher Elyon whom we did chibur gama dar Rambam. Maybe even the Rambam will agree that conceptually what Kesher Elyon doing is it's attaching the beged and the tzitzis. Ella, and this is what Daniel said, Ella shegam krichara chulya tzricha liyot chelek mechibur zeh. But that, what does it mean to attach? It's attaching the tzitzis with basic wraps to the beged. Meaning maybe the machlok is not as much about the kesher elyon as what is the most basic definition of tzitzis. According to the Balei HaTosfot and the Raavad, what's the definition of tzitzis? The very, very basic.
Just one knot.
Tzitzis attached to the baged, and therefore as long as I attach the strings to the baged with a knot, that is enough for it to be defined as tzitzis. According to the Rambam, probably because tzitzis are called gedil, which means that they need something which is braided, twisted, however you understand the word gedil. The kesher elyon is about attachment, but what is it attaching? It's not attaching string, it's attaching braided or twisted strings. And therefore the knot is after I've done the first round of twists, and now it's defined as a gedil. Now I put a knot and I attach the gedil. I don't attach string, I attach gedil. Hilgach. Im kasher et chutei hatzitzis samach leknaf. He said, therefore, now he says, here's his lumdus, which is even farther. And he says, and you know what would come out from this? Why, according to the Rambam, do you think you could put a first knot, then do krichot, and then put a second knot?
No.
No, why not?
Because that first knot is...
Because the first knot is what defines the tzitzis, and if you didn't have any wraps or twists before the first knot,
isn't that defined that it's tzitzis?
Then that, right, the d'oraisa ends at that first knot. And if at that, if up to the first knot there is no twists, so then maybe what?
There are no d'oraisa.
There are no d'oraisa twists. And maybe that's where the Rambam would dafka think that the knot has to be after the first set of twists. So he says, maybe it's not that the Rambam and on Rashi on one side and the Raavad and Tosfos on the other side argue about whether kesher elyon is a din in attaching the tzitzis to the beged or a din in being mekayim the chulyot. Maybe they argue about the definition of what is the minimal tzura of the tzitzis that's defined as tzitzis. Tosfos and the Raavad say, what's the minimal definition? String. And therefore, I just tie the string, and so, it's now tzitzis. But the Rambam says, no, definitional to the tzitzis is the braid. And therefore, if I tie the knot before the braid, and that's the kesher elyon d'oraisa, that means that at the point of attachment, there's strings and not gedil, not a braid, not a twist. And therefore, the Rambam dafka thinks that where do you put the kesher elyon?
After
the first set of strings. Right, after the first set of twists. And now, with these two models, the Rav comes back to Rashi. Because Rashi in Menachot. So, according to Tosfos, Rashi, so Tosfos noted that he holds... In our sugya, he seems to hold that where's the kesher elyon? The furthest one away. In other sugyas, he sounds like
the first one.
It's the closest one. So how can we deal with Rashi? So the Rav says, go back to Rashi. Read Rashi more carefully. What does Rashi in our sugya say? So Rashi says, kesher elyon, hainu nam yahu kesher lamata alocha Moshe Mitzrayim. He says, it's not that there's a stira. What does Rashi say?
It's
also, kesher elyon means that the second knot is also Daraisa. Right? That's what he seems to say. Right? Tosfos thinks that Rashi means only the second knot. But he says, Bimidayik and Rashi, what does he say? Hainu Nami. Hainu Kesher Lomadik. Lomar Kesher Echad says, Mia Daraisa. Lachinakat Elion. Mishim the Ovid. Elochad Kesher Vesovo. Ovid Leishim and Kaimazek Dil Kulo.
What is for Kesher?
And what does Rashi say? Sheyesh Likshar La'achar Achulya. He said, you have to tie after the reps. Rakimina wrote a lecture Yosir Mikesher Echad. He said, only if you don't want to tie another knot. Meaning he says what? You have two options, according to Rashi. What could you do? Knot, wraps, knot, or wraps knot. Both of those are legitimate according to Rashi. Right? Look at his language. Hayunami Ao Kesher Lamata Lach Moshe Sinai. The one at the bottom is also. What does that mean? Klomar, Kesher Echad B'tzitzis Mi Daraisa. You need one knot. L'hachi Nachan Elyon. This is what Elyon means. We should be Elo Ovid Elachad Kesher B'sofo. If I do it only at the end, so Ovid Leishim Mekayim Yisekadil Kulo, then it works because it keeps it together. But what does that imply? That I could have been Mekayim it before, or I've been Mekayim it at the end. Right? And that's why there's no stira in Rashi. Tosos thinks that there's a stira. That Rashi in our sugya says the Kesher Elyon is the bottom knot, and Kesher Elyon, in, according to Rashi in Sanhedrin, is the first knot. Right? Let's just call it first and second. Right? Close to the Beget, farther from the Beget. So he says, so how do you conceptualize Rashi? So he says, Milashon Rashi Mashma. If I only want to tie one knot, so then it can be at the end. But if I want to tie two knots, I could tie and do two knots. Kishita's arrived. Right? Rashi says I have two options: Rambam or Rivid. Mistaber, so he said, how would you justify Shita like that? Because that, and that would explain the different language of Rashi here in Sanhedrin. How could you conceptually justify this, right? If Tosfos and the Ravid hold that the din of Kesher Elyon is to attach the, and then the Rambam either holds that the din of Kesher Elyon is to be Mekayim the Chulia, or to attach Tzitzis Sheyesh Bo Chuliot, right? Tzitzis that have wraps to the Beged. To the Beged. So what does Rashi hold? Because according to Rambam, it sounds like, are you allowed to have a first knot?
Yes.
Before Chuliot? No. Because if the Rav's second Lamdos is right, that the Rambam isn't saying, if the Rambam held that the din of Kesher Elyon was to keep the Chuliot in place, would you be allowed to have a knot, Chuliot knot?
Yes.
But if the Rav's second Svara is right, which is that the din of Kesher Elyon according to the Rambam is to attach tzitzis sheyesh. I don't know which other. Tzitzis sheyesh bo chulya.
It's like damp.
It's the sewer.
Yeah. To attach tzitzis sheyesh bo. You want to open the door? Tzitzis sheyesh bo chulya to the Beged. Are you allowed to have a first knot?
No.
So how would you justify Rashi, who has both a stira according to Tosfos, or a closer read, as the Rav notes, is to say that you're allowed, if you want, to have not wraps not, or to just have wraps not? How can you justify Shita like Rashi? Right, what would be the lamdos be?
The second knot is Elecha Meshem Sinai.
Well, only one of them is, but how could you? But how would you? Right, how would you justify Rashi?
Either or.
So this is what he says: Mistaber Shlodas Rashi Yishtei Alachot Shonot B'Din Kesher Elyon. There's two alachot. What are they? Mitzad Echad Kesher Elyon Hu Midin Chibur. One role of Kesher Elyon is attachment. Ach Yesh Odin Shel Kesher La'Acher Kichadil Chaim Elachulia. The Rashi holds Tzvei Dinim. This is how the Rav understands it. Ravid and Tosfos hold the only role of Kesher Elyon is
attachment.
The Rambam, he prefers the second Lamdus, which is, it's attachment of tzitzis sheyesh bo chuliot. But Rashi who holds that you could do not chuliyot not, or just chuliyot not, says that there's two dinim in kesher elyon. Right? One role of kesher elyon is to attach. The other is to make a kind of kricha. So, if you want to, you could accomplish that role with two separate kesher sharim. Or if you choose, you could accomplish it with one. Because the kesher elyon, according to Rav, is tzvei dinim. It both halachically attaches the beged to the tzitzis, or the tzitzis to the beged, and sustains the chulia. And therefore, what's Rashi's chiddush according to the Rav? That if I want to, I could tie a knot to the beged and be mekayim din, the din of attaching with one knot, then do krichot, and then have a second knot to be mekayim the second halacha, which is sustaining the wraps. Or I could wrap and tie a knot at the bottom and then have one knot that accomplishes two halachot. And that's why he thinks that according to Rambam, you only have one choice, which is tie the knot after the chuliot, because then you've attached tzitzis yesh b'chuliot to the beged. Tosos, you only have one choice, which is tie the knot right at the beginning, because the din is about attachment. But according to Rashi, that these knots are supposed to accomplish two halachot, Rashi has two options, which is either accomplish the two halachot with two separate knots, so knot, wrap, knot. The first knot, the chalos of the first knot is midin attachment, and the second one is sustaining the integrity of the wrap. Or just put a knot at the bottom, and then you'll get two halachic kiyumim in a single knot. And that's why the Rav argues that you seem to have too much mode in Rashi. That in some places he sounds like kesher elyon means that which attaches the beged to the tzitzis. In some places it sounds like it's the one that's farther away. Why is that? Because really he thinks there's two halachos that the knots are accomplishing, and therefore the kesher elyon could either be the one closer to the beged or the one after the chulya. Mm-hmm. He notes, however, who doesn't understand Rashi this way, as we just said? Tosos. Right, Tosros, and that's his next paragraph, says that Omnam Tosros pei viu shnei pirushim achirin b'shmo shel Rashi. Hapir shirishin chiz a Rambam. Shel asbir shitaz b'shmo shel Rambam. He said, Tosros just quotes his two separate possibilities in Rashi. One is that, like the Rambam, that the knot is at the bottom after the chuliot. And the other one is that it's the top, like the Raifid. That's what he says in Sanhedrin. Okay. So that's what he notes, right? That you could go Tosos' direction, right? Which is to say that Rashi really has two different shitos. But you could, if you wanted to, say there's not really a stira, and say, right again, the stira only comes if you read Rashi the way Tosos does, which is that Rashi and Menachot thinks that kesher elyon means the one that's farthest from the beged, and Itzan Hedrit means the one's the closest. But if you think that according to Rashi there's tzvedinim, that there's two halachic chaluyos that are being accomplished by the kesher elyon, so then there's no problem, because you can say this. They're both sort of true, right? They're both sort of true. You could accomplish it in either way. You could either do not chulio not, and then one chalos of the kesher elyon would be accomplished at the point of chibur, and the other would be accomplished. The one of being mekayim chulio would be accomplished by the second knot, or you could do it in one knot by tying it later the way the Rambam writes it.
Wild.
Yeah. Okay. And then he notes that obviously, then this is where the whole problem comes for Tosos. The reason that Tosos won't accept, right, if you read Rashi the way Tosos does, which means that one of the Rashis totally thinks it's the bottom and one is the top. That's why Tosfos doesn't like Rashi, because he thinks that it has to be the one that attaches, because the question is based on the Kilayim Sugya, and there in the Kilayim Sugya, clearly the halachic chalos we're talking about is Chibur. Is the Begin attached?
But really, he just read Rashi wrong.
But really, you could have just said, that's not right. The Rashi...
The whole thing, when Tosfos says it's only on attachment, and that's wrong, because he based that off.
Correct. Rashi. And therefore, yes. Now there is a bit of a shaila that I don't want to get into so much, which is, could you accomplish this not with a knot but with tefira? Rashi seems to think you could accomplish tefira, which is like a sewing, right? Sewing it to the beged, right? At that level, Rashi seems to think you could. Rambam thinks you can't.
There is a probably is there, but probably not.
But I don't want to get into that right now, because that sugya really comes up a little bit more in the sugya of Tasev Lo Minha Asui, which is on Memud Beis.
Can you all cover the whole string after you tie the knot and you braid it in like nail polish or whatever to keep it intact?
What?
Can you cover the whole braid and knot in nail polish? Or
why not?
To keep it together?
Yes, why not?
It's like unnatural, I guess, in a way.
I mean, what is it? What will it do exactly?
I guess it's probably...
Don't you just put it at the tip? Is that what you do?
I know, but okay, let's say you use like glue, I don't know, to keep it together so it doesn't get on that. Can you do that?
Or, you know, to take it to the extreme, could you gold plate it or something? You gold plate the...
Well, then your strings aren't level.
No, but then getting
the
keyboard, getting into mid knaf and all those complicated things we've seen.
Oh no, because the gold is not the string itself. You still have the string that is mid knaf or whatever, but you're just covering that.
You have to see it. You have to see the
string. Again?
When you make the rough,
but the string, if you just did the tips, the string is still kosher up until the tip.
He's saying cover the whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing gold?
No, you can't do that.
No, you can't do the tip, maybe.
Okay. Anyway, so that is, I think, what we'll do in Kesher Elyon in Lambda. So if you want to look at Psak, well, let's take 5 minutes now. Right, and let's just polish it off, because again, the next thing we want to do is tying. So we'll do it on Sunday, it's fine. So if you see, this is what I have to get the printer thing, but I want you guys to do Lamed Tesvan Aleph to Lamed Tesvan Beis. Like I said, there's a million different shitot in terms of what the knots are supposed to look like. But even in black and white, this is pretty clear, right? These pictures. You can see what all the different shitot are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nicer in blue. I can send it to you as a link if you want to look on your phone. But you can see, because you get all the types of shitot, right? You get these cool twists. You know, they're all types of fun shitot, right? Visually, I happen to like Grimnetra Naigon the book the most. Visually. Just nice.
This one?
Yeah. It's cool. That's not a halakhic statement at all. That's an aesthetic statement. I don't know. I think it's cool.
I like the Sephardi one. Where they
you like which one?
The Sephardi one where they make a loop around every...
The Rambam.
That's how Ariel Tucker also. Kind of...
This is the Rambam. Okay, well, we're going to talk about this, but I want you to see the Gemara. And then we'll just go through this.
The Rambam doesn't have he just goes all the way down, right?
There are three versions of Rambam here. This, and this.
Right.
This is the Rambam according to the Ari and the Radziner, and this is the Rambam according to some others. Again, I don't want to go through... It's very hard to parcel these things, and I'm not a visual person. I can't read words and then think visually. I have real trouble with that, which is why, from me also, I need to just be looking at pictures and say, okay, this is what it looks like. This is what the chulia means. This is what the that's why I'm going to give you the pictures, and we'll go through it. Okay, let's just quickly look at Psak, though, on it. So if you look at the base, Yosef, he writes, Umash Mamidivar Mordechai, Talocha Kirava, Shkotzahagav Talmud, Dachir, and Komokam Rabbalu Hoderbe. So, it sounds like we paskin this, like we paskin Kesher and Dorei. So, but Rambam, Hisker, Kosher, Elabuchulia, Rishona, Nir, Lacharishina Pose, Kidam, Rabbatar, Kajakol, Huli, Mishum, you know what? Sorry, this is the Psak on tying. Is that what I put? Oh, yeah, sorry. I had put some sock stuff on the later stuff. Just hold on to the source sheet. This is about the ties. Sorry. I forgot that I had done this to save space. I had put already Makaros here on the tying. Okay, good. No, so that was what I wanted to do in Kesher Elyon. So the next thing we have to do, again, we can start it now. Did you guys start getting through the Gemara from Lamed? Okay. So then I guess we'll have a short share today. And we'll just finish the Kesher Elyon. So just to lay out what I want you to do, I want you to read from Yosef Rabbah until Lamed Tesem and Beis. Until Lamed Tesem and Beis, until under the seven lines down of Posa Leum Yitelchel. This is where the Gemara discusses a lot of the details of wrapping. Of how many wraps do you need? Lo yichos misheva, kenegav shiva rikiyim, and the like. So I want you to do that, and then we will try to just discuss visually what exactly these shittos mean. I'm just debating if to end shir or to make. I was going to do a hashkafic point. I was going to do a hashkafic point and hold it to shear, but maybe I'll do the hashkafic point now because I have a little bit of time, so I'll just do it now.
We're not going to.
Yeah, it's also a great wasserman. Okay, so let's do this hashkafic point, quickly. Okay, I'm going to do one hashkafic point, which I was going to do on Sunday, but I'll do this, and this way, on Sunday, we can just focus on the tying issues. So you'll see this inside, but the Gemara says that when you're doing the wraps, again, what exactly this means is part of what you have to see, but you shouldn't have less than seven to parallel the seven rikiyim. And if you just look at Tosfos for a minute,
seven braids.
Skies. Yeah, you could. Well, what that seven means is why there's a machloket, so I don't want to get into the details yet, but look for a moment at Tosfos.
I know, on this one.
That's why I said we'll do this after. But if you look at Tosfos, just look at the first line of Tosfos. Tosfos says, so Tosfos just said, why would you say that you tie the seven wraps, whatever the wraps mean? Again, we'll see what they mean. To parallel the seven heavens, because so he says, because of the tchelet, because the tchelet is domel rekia. So what is Tosfos telling you, which is interesting, is that again none of this is ma'akev, as we'll see. But what's he saying? That the conceptual halacha, like the philosophical halacha, namely that philosophical halacha, the philosophical idea, namely that tzitzis are supposed to remind you of the yam to the rakia, and the rakia the kisei hakavod, and that's supposed to remind you about galat, so you don't perform averos. All that stuff that we know about tcheles. What Tosfos points out is that that's so central to tzitzis that it's not only just true of the blue, it's true of
the white.
It's true of the ties. I mean, everything about what the chelet represents, it's not just the color, but the form is meant to accomplish the same idea. Meaning, these hashkafic ideas.
Otherwise, we don't have the chelet, so we're not accomplishing.
So that's interesting, because we'll see is that Tosfos actually thinks, do these halachot apply when you don't have chelet? No. Right? Tosfos actually thinks that, and this is the interesting thing, is that yes, the idea of tchelet isn't just about the color, it's about the very structure, but if you don't have tchelet, then there's no replacement.
I mean, practically.
Who doesn't agree with that? And we'll see this a little bit.
Rashi.
Because remember, Rashi comes up with a different way of reminding you of the mitzvahs, which is the Gematria thing, so 600 plus 5 plus 8.
Right, so that works either way.
Correct, but what you see here is an interesting hashkafic machlokas, halachic / hashkafic machlokas, is whether the din of the remembering is when there's tchelet, so then it integrates both into the color and into the tzura, or do you say that the tzitzis are supposed to remind you, and those are separate. It could either do it through the color, or it could do it through the tzura.
Is the goal to be reminded, and that's it? Or is the goal to be reminded through the tcheles? Because if the goal is through the tcheles, then without it, it doesn't make a difference if you're reminded or not, because you have to use the tcheles.
Good, so I think that's exactly the point.
But if it's without it, then with the form, anyone will think of the same thing.
Good, so what? So I think Daniel's exactly right, is that according to Tosfos, it seems to be that what is reminds you, the tcheles. Right? It's not that tzitzis are meant to remind you. There's something about the din of tcheles that's meant to remind you. And according to Rashi, tzitzis are meant to remind you, and tcheles is just one of the ways in which it does that. Which, right, that's already interesting. Again, is there an afkamin into it? I don't know. But we'll get more into the tying. But I just wanted to, at some point, share it with you. And I guess now we'll do it. The Rav has, at the end of this book, an interesting little thing. At the end of this book, they put a few sichot of the Rav, not lumdish pieces, but some hashkafic pieces, on tefillin and tzitzis. So he just has a two-page piece, which I think, as we're about to go into the tying, is worth just thinking about, on tchelet and lavan. And he goes much more in the Tosos direction, that it's the tchelet that reminds you, because he thinks that the tchelet and the lavan, it's not just, well, I don't know if it's Rashi, let's just say this hashkafic point, right? He says, he thinks that it's not the tzitzis, it's, or the tchelet, it's the tchelet and the lavan. That the tchelet and the lavan accomplish different ideas.
The difference between the two gives you that.
Correct. And this, again, this is hashkafically speaking, and this is what he says. He thinks that tchelet v'alavan miyatzgim shtei drachim shonot behen l'stakel ha'adam al atzmo v'alam shemechutzelo. The tchelet and the lavan represent two different ways in which people look at themselves and look at the world. He says lavan represents logic. Simple logic, rationality, easily accessible things. Why? Because it's bahir. It's clear. Well, no, it's also, it's clear physically. It's just, it's plain, it's straightforward. And he says, if you look around, you look at the language in the Gemara, it'll say hadvarim mechuvarim kesimla. Things are as clear, but chuvar means white. They're as white as. And what about tchelet? So he says, what does tchelet represent?
Mystical.
Mystical are things that are beyond normal human comprehension. How does he get that? So he says, because, think about how they describe it. The tchelet is dom melayam, v'yam dom melarakia, v'riya rakia lekiseh akavod. It reminds you of those things which are beyond. And I would add that it's not just to remind you of things beyond. What points in the Rav's direction that tchelet is meant to remind you of, like, complicated things, things that are beyond human comprehension? The fact that it has been more presented, not tchelet is like the kiseh hakavod, but tchelet is like the yam. And the yam reminds you of the sky, and the sky reminds you of kiseh hakavod. I mean, it's not even something you can perceive directly. It's something that...
it's like a weird...
correct, like you, there are steps even to wrap your head around it. And he said, the reason that tzitzis is chosen as that which reminds us about the mitzvot, in all of the ways that it does, with the colors and the twists of a chule, and again, we can try to fit it back into the halachos when we actually go through the sugyot on Sunday, is that a full, complete approach to Torah requires... both, right? Requires both. On the one hand, you have to approach the world rationally. But on the other hand, you have to realize that there are things beyond you, right? Things that are so complicated that are beyond you. And it is, right? And it's that which, right? It's that dual approach that that the tzitzis captures, right? That we approach the world and mitzvot both through things that are simple and straightforward and things that are beyond us, and recognize that both part of our experience. And then the Rav says that, lumdishly speaking, he really likes Rebbe's position, or hashkafically speaking, which is tchelet ma'akev and alavan. That really you should have both, right? And one without the other is incomplete. Now he says, obviously we don't paskin that way, but he said, right, there's something there in that, in the sense that, that there is something lacking without both perspectives. And then he gets into this nice little tzioni moment, which is that if Jews had lived with white so to speak, for our entire history, we would have been in trouble because things were so dire for most of Jewish history. If we didn't believe that there are things that are beyond us and that there are things, you know, that there's a God and that there's hope in history and that things might change, we would never have accomplished anything. Because just looking sort of without that...
Very depressing.
It was our ability to look at the trailer, so to speak, that gave us hope. And he said, even within Eretz Yisrael, where he goes, he said, that is the trailer of our lives, right? We come back and like we did not expect it, and even once we were there, if we looked at it from the Lavan, as he said, right, from straight numbers, right, we were surrounded by millions of enemies, v'chulei.
This is right.
What?
Rabim Biat
Miatim. Yeah, Rabim Biat Miatim. Oh, good. Here we got a nice little... this is a shiur I love giving. The fact that the early Zionist poskim, religious Zionist poskim, claim their halachic basis for Yom HaTzimut was Hanukkah. Right? That is their halachic basis, is the concept of Hanukkah. It's a fun subject. I gave it last year, though I don't think I'm going to give it again here.
Is this the only reason for Tzitzis?
No.
To remind us, like... Practically.
Well, the Torah says is to remind you.
But then, meaning, if that's true, then why does the Torah give so many specifications of how to wear it? Let's say a cornered garment versus anything else.
This is always a broader question, which is how does Tamei HaMitzvot affect the letter of the law? Right, meaning it's the halacha is not reducible to Tamei HaMitzvot. There are Tamei HaMitzvot. There are ideas that come from it, but it's not reducible to that.
Well, I understand that for some of it, like the way it's tied, right, that might be important because that involves the actual.
No, I understand, but I'm saying halacha is not reducible to the Tamim. Right, you can derive Tamim from it, philosophy from it, right, philosophical ideas from it, but it's not reducible to that. Halacha stands on its own. There's also a level of submission. You know, if you're more Kabbalistic, there are also, you know, you believe that there are all types of things that are happening that every prat influences, right, in addition, however you want to take it. But that's, I think, a broader question that we can do in a few minutes. Then the Rav has one more hashkafic note. Again, this is a drash, but it's a nice drash, and it's worth doing at some point, so we'll do it now. The other thing he says is, okay, but if it's just about blue versus white, why is it that Chazal say it has to be Tchelet and not Kala Ilan? Right? Why can't you just accomplish the same thing with the indigo? So he says, what does the Gemara say the difference is between Tchelet and Kala Ilan? Whether it lasts. Right? Whether it lasts. It is staying power. And the Rav says, it's not just about blue. It's if we want to survive, it's that blueness, the Tcheletness of our lives...
Well, radically, we can find things that last longer, I guess, than that.
Well, actually, we have not yet found anything. But again, this is a drasha.
Scientifically, you could probably make some...
Okay, fine. But anyway, this is a drasha. I'm not saying this is proud. I'm saying it's a drasha where it's just worth noting that at some point, this drasha, the Rav, I think it's some nice ideas in Chelet and Lavan. I don't think it's not shot. This is meant to be a drasha. It's meant to be some ideas to think about as we're going through it and as we're talking about the tyings of where we, as we are seeing from Tosos, the tyings, we add symbolism upon symbolism because Dafka and Tzitzis, symbolism is important. Right? That's what the Torah says. It's meant to remind you. And once you realize that in certain mitzvot, the tam is more hidden. Here, where the Torah is so in your face and says, this is supposed to remind you of the mitzvot, it's worth bringing the notion of Hashgacha front and center, at least talking about it once. So there we go. We spent a few minutes talking about it.